They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Big Daddy, Tony Davis, Stacy taking care of all the buttons, and we're welcoming you to another edition of today's program. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, game seven. The Tri-City Storm come away in Danny, and I said this last night to the coaches, and I said this last night to Scott Troutman and some of the boys out there. Let's face it. As they went it 3-2 last night, I am not a hockey fan. I believe that has been stated on this show. I like the Storm. I root for the Storm. We work with the Storm. Just in general, I don't sit down and watch an NHL game. I might even watch a little Frozen Four. You know, it's like watching the Indy 500. You know, really don't watch, you know, Indy League Racing, but it's the 500. So it's the Storm. So in the years that I've been there, however many hockey games I've seen at the Storm, and let's face it, it's not a whole bunch. Most of it's in the postseason. Last night was the best hockey game I had ever seen of the Tri-City Storm. And a lot of people say, you know, it was a great game. It was above a good game. It was a great game. The way they came out, 23 shots on goal, even though only one went in the first period. Coach Blitzlitler not there at the beginning of the game because still going through the birth of their daughter, Grace, and congratulations. Coach Littler will join us in the second half of the show, which we are grateful that he has agreed to do that. Also coming up, Ron Blaze, the head track coach at Shelton, and maybe a special guest or two in there. I don't know. But great hockey game last night, and the Storm wins it.
Doug, I thought from the start to finish, the intensity, the Storm continually put pressure on Sioux City. Never once did the Storm act like that they were on their heels at all. It was always push, push, push. The puck was on their end of the ice a lot of the night, in which if you're going to win hockey games, that's how it's got to be done this time of year, what Coach Blitzlitler tells us. You know, they never, you know, even the shots that didn't go in, Jared Kuhn was making some unbelievable saves. And I thought we had a caller calling after the show the other day and say, you might say something about Jerry Kuhn knocking the goal off the post. I think he did that twice. He did it once for sure. I think he did it twice last night, and I think that caller was right on that. Maybe one of Jerry's little tricks to get that whistle to blow, and the puck did flip in just shortly after. The whistle did blow. I'll give the officials, which drew the ire of Blitzlitler a couple times last night.
Yeah, that's the way it's going to be in Game 7. The Storm did come out, put pressure on, get right after him. I think Sioux City lost interest after it was 3-1, and then they got a goal to go in, made it 3-2. I thought that really changed the complexion of the game. Sioux City really came out with a little more after they scored that goal in the third period to cut it to 3-2 with about 10 minutes to go. Storm kind of went into a shell. Coach Littler saying a little bit like that, asking him that after the game. He goes, yeah, I think we did. I think we did back down there and try to hold on, and that was in some cases about the worst thing you could do. But then as the game got down to about the last 3 minutes, the Storm was able to do what they needed to do, and Sioux City had some chances to tie that game last night.
No, they had some chances. I think another, the breakaway goal by Hudson, where he just got a little bit of a seam, and he went in, skated, and got the goal to go in between the legs of Jerry Kuhn. You know, he just broke away. You don't see that even in the USHL a whole lot. But he put a move on him, and boom, what a huge goal that was. And the momentum certainly changed right there. I thought the Storm had everything going their way.
Well, and Alex Hudson, great game for him, and a sharp dresser.
Good-looking cat.
Boy, that's good stuff he had on the post-game last night. That's good stuff. And so now, okay, lots of questions afterwards. Now what happens? What do we do now? What happens next for the Storm? Okay, here's what happens next for the Storm. They get into this round-robin phase where the West, the three teams that are left, will play each other. So the Storm being the one seed, will go to the three seed, Des Moines, tomorrow night. And Des Moines had a lot more rest. They've been off since Friday when they finished their series off against Omaha. And then the Storm will host Sioux Falls on Saturday at 7:05, and that is guaranteed to be the final home game of the year for the Storm. Tickets are currently on sale at the First Tier Event Center box office. Call 338-8011 or go online to pickmytickets.com. Pickmytickets.com. And people, here's something else. Just kind of honest. If by now you don't know to type in the www before anything on the net, I don't say it. It takes too much time. If you don't know it, then you're an idiot. You shouldn't be running the computer in the first place. And everybody else, it's time to stop saying www. Pickmytickets.com. www implied. Anyway, so that you can go get tickets now. The Storm, if they win one of those games, guaranteed to advance.
Two out of the three teams will advance.
That's right. And they are the 2, the 5, and the 6 seeds are left. And if everybody goes 1-1, the 2 and the 5 move on. But in talking with assistant coach Richie Larson after the game last night, he said, well, what happens if you beat Des Moines Wednesday? I mean, what's the point? What do you do against Sioux Falls? I mean, do you put in the student manager to be your goaltender, who was the backup last night, equipment manager, I should say, was the backup goalie last night. So what do you do? He goes, the reason that game would be important is then Sioux Falls could go 2-0, the Storm would have been 1-1, and then they would be the 1 seed and the Storm would be the 2 seed when they go out there. And it would be the difference in playing, say, Waterloo, the top seed in the East, or Cedar Rapids. And Waterloo, I still think everybody thinks they're heads and shoulders above. But no matter what, either Waterloo or Cedar Rapids will host the Final Four when it gets to that point the following weekend, the weekend of a Mother's Day of the 12th.
Cedar Rapids even ahead of the Storm.
Yes, they are. I thought it was just Waterloo, which Waterloo's going to get it anyway. I mean, they would have to lose twice. They would have to lose to both Indiana and to Cedar Rapids, and I don't see that happening.
Talking to Greg Shea last night, I said, Greg, are you disappointed in the crowd? Because it was not a full arena.
Official attendance, 1,805. Although we joked about it, made a little fun of it, that, you know, the attendance at the playoffs is a lot less. I actually thought there was more there last night. There's some nights I've been there and they'd say 2,002. What? But 1,805, and they were loud.
Greg Shea says, Tony, these are our true fans. These are the people that do actually bleed purple. And they don't just they wear the shirts that say I bleed purple, and then they bleed purple. You got the guy with the horn, the crowd making noise, giving Mr. Kuhn a little bit of love at times, poking some fun. They were loud, they were intense, and I expect the same thing come later this week when they get back to home ice here.
So Tri-City Storm, a 3-2 winner last night. This just in, the Yankees still aren't good. I, you know, a lot of people have been giving me grief about, you know, the Yankees, and I haven't been making fun of them enough on the show, evidently. Their record only better than the Royals and the Washington Nationals.
See, just, we're still, you know, I believe in 2004, the Yankees were 7-19, is that correct, to start the season, end up winning the East. They will get this deal patched back together. The pitching staff is just horrendously injured right now, and they will make the push. They will make the push. They will make the playoffs.
We talked yesterday, before we get too deep into what's going on the rest of the day, we talked yesterday with Kyle Hayner, who's leaving Kearney High. But we didn't really talk about, as their boys basketball coach, take the athletic director job at Lexington. But since we broke this and talked about it on Friday, we've been talking about what direction you think they're going to go. Now, there's two trains of thought here. Either you go in-house, and if you go in-house, then this whole isn't as much fun for debate on a show like this. But if you don't, if you're looking for a coach, if you're opening it up, Daddy, what would Kearney High be looking for? Because I believe, and I think you agree, that Kearney High, unless you are a metro person, unless you are from Omaha, have grown up in Omaha or Kansas City, or unless you are a large city person, I think no one from, you know, a lot of people don't really want to go to Omaha. Maybe Lincoln, yes. But I think this job will be one of the most sought-after jobs in the state of Nebraska.
I think that goes without question. When you're talking about names, and Doug, some of the people that we've come up with on this list, I fully agree with you. Other people, I don't see it happening as much. I hear the Pierce coach has already contacted Kearney about the job. You hear things about Matt Fritchie, the Bellevue West girls coach, who was an assistant here under Coach Hanner, maybe being interested in the job. Obviously, Coach Hanner fully backing Scott Steinbrück and the current regime. It's interesting when you think about it. Scott Steinbrück gets a job. Will the assistants stay? Will they go? Somebody else from the outside comes in. Will Scott Steinbrück stay on the staff and do what he's been doing? So many different possibilities out there. I believe they say they will open it up, although perhaps I hear an English position may be open. Very few journalism basketball coaches out there.
Well, that's true. You got to look at that, too. But strictly from a basketball standpoint, and I will go on record right now saying the following, and this does not mean anything because I think Scott Steinbrück and all the assistant coaches up there are great. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that somebody from outside the program will be hired. That's just my gut feeling on this. Now, if it's Scott Steinbrück or if it's any of the assistants that want this job, I think that'll be great. I've got no problem with that. Just, you have an opinion. That's my gut feeling. Plus, it's more fun to throw some names out. Here's some names we've come up with. We've talked to a couple of people, but nothing deep here. I think that you're going to get a Class B or C coach, and you mentioned the Pierce coach, that has been very successful, that doesn't have a whole lot of ties necessarily to the area, like, we're born in Norfolk but are coaching in Pierce, family roots there.
I think you're saying much like a Brandon Cool situation where they went and found a successful coach at Southern.
Right. Rodimer. Right. Aurora, very successful, and grew up there in college. That's a very good point. Very good point. Matt Fritchie, we talked about from Bellevue West. The only person I could see out of Class A, this name has been up a lot, Joel Heiser. He has Kearney ties, obviously. He's currently at Papillion La Vista South. I think that's a name out there. One of the first names that popped into my head, and again, this is if these coaches want this job. There's no indication. And this is just like if we were looking for the next coach of the Yankees and what they do. Jerry Buck from Holdridge. I think that is a name that is right there. Holdridge has been very successful under Coach Buck. The athletic director, Mark Armstrong at Kearney High, has come from Holdridge. A number of years there. They have a relationship. I think that has got to be towards the top of the list. The new superintendent comes from Centennial, but the Centennial coach just a couple of weeks ago took the head job at Columbus. So he will soon be off the picture. So your connection's there. How about Steve Sponberg? Huh?
See, I'm all for that, but Karn's that no. See,
you hate his style.
I love his style.
You don't know. You don't like 45-44 basketball.
But,
I know you like Coach Sponberg, and we like Coach Sponberg, and he's got great baseball.
I don't like
his style of basketball.
No, his style of, but you know what? The style of basketball he coaches is with the talent he has. I like the intense style of coaching. Now, a couple kids might get their feelings hurt, and in this sensitive day and age, I'm not sure you can come to Class A basketball and say, Johnny, don't do it like that, because Johnny's feelings get hurt because he's sensitive now. He's got feelings. These kids nowadays have feelings. I'm not sure that up-in-your-face style of coaching could come to Class A. It could come to Kearney High.
Here's my dark horse. Bill Gavers, Grand Island Central Catholic.
Not a big fan of that style of coaching.
It's the same kind.
Yes.
It's the same kind. Sutton and Central Catholic are the same thing.
Except Central Catholic has some more talent.
I'm just throwing that out. And then you look at Class B, because Jerry Buck Holdridge, but Grand Island Northwest just got a new head coach, so nobody's coming from there. I don't think Lexington moves, which would be kind of ironic if that's exactly what happened. But how about Jim Weeks coming out of Beatrice or Mike Herzberg coming out of Aurora?
Interesting. Jim Weeks is the one, when we were first discussing this, really came to my mind as head of program. It'll be interesting, and each one of these people, I'm sure, have individual thoughts on how to get the youth program going over the summer, and I think that's a big key as far as bringing up and developing kids to fit into your program at a Class A level. I don't know what Jim Weeks. I've heard from several people at Beatrice that he has a very, very strong youth program. I think Scott Steinbrick would have a very, very strong youth program as well.
Well, and those are just a few names. There's a couple more that I will not say on the air just because a couple people and some of the people I talked to didn't think that was a possibility. So I'm not going to throw out anyone, but I think that's a good core. Matt Fritchie, Joel Heiser, Jim Weeks, Mike Herzberg, Jerry Buck, Steve Sponberg, Bill Gabers. I think there's seven people right there.
Let's go. I'm going to go to Minden and get Coach Steve Ekstrom. Come over here.
But he's not the coach at Minden.
No, he's a freshman coach.
No. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. 1-888-455-ESPN. Email us, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to talk a little track. We're getting closer to that time of the season where we're heading towards some conferences have already finished up, like the Twin Valley. Shelton did very well. We're going to talk with Coach Ron Blaze and a whole lot more, including Tri-City Storm Coach Bliss Littler in the second half of the show. All coming up after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our transmitter actually contains parts of the Chernobyl reactor. It hasn't affected us yet.
Kansas City is the perfect place for a weekend getaway. And this summer, your family can enjoy both Worlds of Fun and a Royals game all for one low price. Worlds of Fun and the Royals are teaming up with a double play of fun for you. Catch a Royals game and spend a day at Worlds of Fun all for just $29.50. Call 1-800-877-4FUN and ask for the double play pack. That's 1-800-877-4FUN. Make plans now.
Me, Ranchito, invites you to grab family and friends to come for the fun of the Cinco de Mayo Festival at Gothenburg. There'll be spicy food to tickle your palate, dancing, and other fun activities, so don't spend your Saturday at home. Me, Ranchito, in Gothenburg, and visit our North Platte location at 202 West Eugene Street. If it's happening in sports, Doug and Daddy will talk about it on ESPN Radio Superstations, high school, college, pros, and more. It's the Doug and Daddy Show, talking sports on ESPN Radio Superstations, 1460 at 1550 a.m. every weekday at 11 a.m.
Hi, this is Shelley Smith from ESPN. You're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
ESPNSuperstation.com provides instant access to all your sports news, local and ESPN headline news.
You want answers?
ESPNSuperstation.com provides instant access to weather threats and cancellations.
I think I'm entitled.
ESPNSuperstation.com provides access to all of our sponsors' locations.
I will be on the White House.
ESPNSuperstation.com provides instant access to trips and tours and content.
First time in 23 years, our mind's a superstar.
ESPNSuperstation.com.
Showers, storm possible yet early today. Then skies will become partly sunny. Highs around is 77 with winds turning to the east at 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see clearing skies, low near 45, then on the way to 74 on Wednesday. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 59.
Daddy Show, a little dedicated song to Bernie Madison, our friend at Carnac Alley.
1-888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number. The email is DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up, we're going to talk a little track with Shelton Coach Ron Blaze, and then a little hockey with Tri-City Storm Coach Bliss Littler. And, by the way, new dad, in case you missed that at the top of the program, he literally opened the door to walk into the arena last night, the horns going off for the Storm's first goal. So that was kind of cool. NBA playoffs last night, well, NHL, and then we'll go to NBA. NHL playoffs, Ottawa beats New Jersey, San Jose beats Detroit. They're both up 2-1. Tonight, Buffalo's at New York. They're up 2-1. Anaheim's at Vancouver. They're up 2-1. Your thoughts?
All right.
In the NBA, Cleveland sweeps out Washington 97-90. Houston defeats Utah 96-92. Rockets up 3-2. San Antonio pushed by Denver, had to rally, but they win it 96-89. They're up 3-1 tonight. New Jersey's at Toronto. They can wrap it up. And the eighth seed in the West, Golden State, is at Dallas. 8:30 go time. I'm going to try and stay up and watch that whole thing. That's some basketball, people.
That is some basketball. And I got to see the first half of the Nuggets-Spurs game last night, shortly after the hockey game. Why are there not more announcers in, whether it be Major League Baseball, the NFL, anywhere, but you got Charles Barkley on the NBA to come right out at halftime. Charles, your thoughts of the first half? Tim Duncan's getting killed out there. They are fouling him constantly. Why will not they call that? He comes right out, right at you. Everybody sees that in the NFL when something's being missed or something's not right.
It's because nobody's going to mess with Chuck. Look at ESPN's baseball analysts. I could kick pretty much every one of their asses, except John Kruk.
That's like the CEO of Tim Kirchin.
Tim Kirchin, Steve Phillips,
Peter Gammons, you could throw him.
Yeah, football, I could kick John Clayton's ass. I mean, come on, give me a break. That's why. Chuck played the game, so they're going to respect him. He's a Hall of Famer. They're going to respect him, and that's his style. And they respect it. It isn't just, he isn't doing this for flash. He kind of was, and he got in there when the NBA was really not popular. I think it's starting to get popular again, and so he's been around. 1-888-455-ESPN. We are pleased to go to the phone lines now and go to Shelton High School, where we're going to talk a little track with the head coach of the Bulldogs program, Ron Blaze, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Ron, good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure. And first off, before we get into talking about Shelton Track, Ron was among the honorees at the Central Nebraska Track Championships at Grand Island here a little over a week ago. 24 years with the program. And, Ron, I know most of the folks that get this honor aren't aware of it until they actually pull you out there on Monday night. Congratulations on the honor. And kind of just talk about your emotions on that Monday night.
Well, it was a little bit surprising. One thing that was kind of nice was my parents were in the stands. They actually had come down to watch my nephew, who runs for High Plains, had come down to watch him run. So that made it pretty special for me also.
Track, I guess, it's sometimes looked at as a second-tier sport, below football and volleyball, but everybody talks about if you're good in track, and we want you to, football say, we want you to go out for track. Wrestlers, we want you to go out for track. We want you to stay in shape. And then yet track is its own sport unto itself. How do you work the two to make kids better for every other sport, yet get all you can out of them off the track?
Well, I guess, the first thing, you have to make sure that all your coaches are on board. Football, basketball, wrestling, volleyball. Just make sure that everybody's on board with you. Everybody believes in what you're doing. And things should work out then.
Ron, the Twin Valley Conference meet was held this past Saturday, I believe. You guys scored 88 points. Going into that, did you really feel that you could score that many points in this meet?
I had kind of scored it beforehand. I thought we would probably be, roughly somewhere from 75, maybe up to 90 points. So we were up on the high end. I had us projected about third or possibly fourth, so getting the runner-up was a little bit of a surprise for us.
Franklin wins the meet, and then you guys get second, but you didn't dominate with a lot of gold medals. I guess a lot of people would call this the Carney High method. I mean, you guys just did a lot of placing up and down the line.
Yeah, I think we had five or six second places. We only had one individual gold on the boys' side, and five or six seconds, four or five thirds. We kind of nickel and dimed our way up to second.
That's not the case on the girls' side, though. Callie Brannigan, what a great young talent she has, and your girls go in and win the meet.
Yeah, we, again, it kind of looked at things. We thought if we didn't stumble in any of our events, that we could probably come away with the championship there. But, again, you have to get out there on the track and do it. The girls did a really nice job.
Ron, talk about Callie, and she kind of get this team going a little bit as far as the team-wise, and just not her individually.
I think, a lot of the kids feed off of her and see, how well she does, and it just makes them want to try to do a little bit better. She was hampered a little bit with a knee injury early in the year, and probably the last two or three meets now, she has really started to come on, started to look very strong.
Ron Blaze, the head track coach at Shelton, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Where do you see girls or boys, coach, where you've got a meet left this week with Elm Creek, you go into districts next week? Where do you see some kids that can really take that next step in the next week and maybe find themselves in Omaha?
Yeah, We'll go up to Elm Creek here on Thursday, and Elm Creek always runs a nice meet. Got a very nice facility, so we'll try to load some events up. Maybe try some kids in some different events, just to make sure that we aren't skipping someone that maybe should be on a relay or in some individual event. And then we'll just make sure the kids are in the right frame of mind going into our district meet up at Loup City, actually a week from Thursday.
Robert, when you look at that district meet at Loup City, I see Wood River right in there. Mr. Wissing stands out immediately when you look at that field. Where do you guys see yourselves fitting in there?
Well, obviously Wood River is going to be very, very strong, and Jake does such a nice job over there. I'd like to have him over here, but I don't think the option rules are probably going to allow him to come over. But Wood River is very strong. They've got Kevin Mayfield does a nice job over there, and they'll be tough to beat. But I look at the other teams that are in there, and I think it's just going to be a real sprinkling of people that are strong in different events. GICC's got some hurdlers. Kearney Catholic, some sprint people. Ward's got some distance people. Ravenna's got some good kids over there too. So it'll be very interesting to see how the boys' end shakes out.
Shelton coach Ron Blaze joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Incidentally or coincidentally, we'll talk to Kevin Mayfield on the program tomorrow, and then we will also be live up at Loup City giving you updates on that district track meet next week on our sister station, Power 99 FM. And that does look like each school in that, as you touched on, has got some pretty strong people in different events. Where do you think you'll stand out at this district?
Well, right now on the boys' side, Evan Landell is looking very good for us in the shot and the discus. We've got a 3,200-meter relay team that I think has a shot. The hurdle events, I don't think you can count us out in because, the hurdles are one of those events that somebody could go down early. Trip on a hurdle, we might be in there. And Logan Bruner's started to come on a little bit in the Open 800. So those are some boys that I think probably have a pretty good chance. On the girls' side, obviously Callie's going to be in there. The 4x100 relay team should have a pretty good shot. We got a sophomore hurdler, Chelsea Pearson, that's been running very well for us this year. So we might have some surprises too. So.
Well, Ron, we'll see you up at Loup City for a district track next week, and best of luck at Elm Creek, and thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and again, congratulations on the well-deserved honor last week.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you guys for all the coverage that you've done for us this year.
You bet. Love Shelton. Good job, Ron. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Ron Blaze, head track coach at Shelton, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, district track, we will be in Arapahoe for the D meet on Wednesday. A and D goes on Wednesday. B and C goes Thursday. We will be at Loup City on Thursday. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and then it is hockey time with the head coach and Daddy Times 2, Bliss Littler, after this.
It's that same satisfaction you got from pulling the arm off a Cabbage Patch doll.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, good times. The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
Hi, this is Ron Horst with Town & Country Bank in Kearney. Years ago, Dad gave me some good advice. Go to a doctor you trust for medical care. go to an attorney you trust for legal advice, and build your bank relationship on a foundation of trust. Since 1905, Town & Country Bank has served its customers with honesty, simplicity, and soundness. That's the foundation of trust and the way banking should be. I invite you to do your banking at Town & Country Bank with branches in Kearney, Ravana, Pleasanton, and Litchfield. Member FDIC.
Experience 2 great hours Friday at Work Zone with the Dickies Interactive Mobile Trailer. You could win cool prizes too. Race the virtual NASCAR Dickies 500. Get a photo of you fighting a 1-ton PBR bull or dropping the Dickies 500 green flag. Hunt virtual wild game. Experience the Dickies brand at Work Zone and get 20% off any Dickies in stock items. It's only from 11 till 1 this Friday at Work Zone on West State Street.
Quality and services first. Work Zone for clothes that work.
Make this Mother's Day special. Treat your mom early, Saturday, May 12th, to a dining experience at Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge of Gibbon. On Saturday, May 12th, Sportsman's is featuring a prime rib dinner for mom, baked potato, salad bar, and a complimentary bottle of wine, all for $11.95. Come early. Serving begins at 4 on Saturday the 12th. Show Mom how much you appreciate all she does with a short drive to sunny downtown Gibbon. Reservations accepted and appreciated.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up, we've been trying to get this John Buck interview with the Kansas City Royals for about 2 weeks now. We believe we'll have him in the last segment of the show today. We didn't want to bust up the special guest at the start of the show, but that's right, one of Daddy's favorite real-life Kansas City Royals. Our favorite. Yeah, I'm just saying you love real-life Kansas City Royals, but we also love real-life Tri-City Storm folks. And we brought in another one. Brought in another recruit yesterday, Grace Littler, gracing the world yesterday, and we are pleased to be joined by the head coach and daddy again of the Tri-City Storm. Bliss Littler joins us, and coach, congratulations on both fronts.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
And again, thanks for the time. I mean, I figured we'd get Richie or we'd get Tommy today, but you got to just be, I guess, running on adrenaline right now.
Well, every hour on the hour, it seemed like they're waking my wife up last night. And, you know, those hospital beds, they're plastic, and so you, any moving around, when they come in, you wake up also. So, not a lot of sleep last night, but, again, awful excited.
What kind of fast food did Mom get?
she was not really happy with me about that. So.
But you got everything taken care of. That's great. Boy, yeah. Before we kind of get away from the family edition and move on, let's go with that transition. What was your mindset as you're driving to the arena? I guess last night, knowing that you are at the moment down 1-0, yet leaving the hospital, yet wanting to get to the kids and take care of everything. What was going through your mind during that drive between the hospital and the arena last night?
Well, Richie sent me that text. Told me the guys were very focused. I was following point streak on my phone. I saw that we were out shooting them pretty badly. So I figured that Tom must have gave a great game 7 pregame speech. I was feeling pretty good. Even though I saw it was 1-0, I saw that we must have been playing good because we're, the shots were fairly. I guess they're favoring us by quite a bit, so I figured we're playing pretty well.
Well, Coach, obviously when you walk into the building, the horn's going off, and they've tied it up 1-0, and by that I mean the good guys are one apiece. That had to just put a little bit more adrenaline in you.
Oh, it did. I mean, for sure. I just opened the door where I heard the siren go off and the crowd were... I knew at that time that we had tied it up and just pretty fired up. Just so you know, you're hoping that you can tie it up by the end of the period. You go in the period and you're feeling pretty good about yourself instead of feeling you're chasing the game a little bit.
You sure the horn was for a goal or just for you arriving? Did you really have to look?
I figured that we had scored. That I didn't have I didn't have any worries at all. That, again, the staff that we have here, that I knew that nothing would change. They worked with Tom a long time, and Richie's going on 3 years now. That I knew things were in good hands.
Tri-City Storm head coach Bliss Littler joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tomorrow they play at Des Moines in the second round, and they will host Sioux Falls on Saturday. Alex Hudson, big game for you last night. Ian Keserich put back in goal because of the situation. Aaron Rocca played in game six. Talk about their two performances last night.
Well, Alex Hudson, the last, I would say from early February, he's been one of our better players. He's maturing on the ice, and I think his health is finally very good. He's a tough kid to take down once he gets his feet moving. So, just watching him, what he's done in this playoff series, he's turned himself into a pretty high-end player in this league. So, again, we're pretty happy for how far he's come. And obviously for Ian, what a life lesson he's learned, that I know he's got pro hockey on his mind, and